Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight the reading of your word, and I pray that in these next few moments that you would give me a clarity of thought and mind to be able to communicate the wonderful word of God. I pray that you'd help us as a congregation to recognize this wonderful gift of communion, of the Lord's Supper, of the Eucharist, all these various names that we hear communion called, or the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper called, all of which come from the Scriptures, the various and sundry names that it is referred to. And I pray that we would recognize that its purpose is something far greater than just a religious ritual. Its purpose is to continually bring us back to that which we've received in Jesus Christ, and to continually seek to be in union, in unity with the will of Christ in our life, and that we would desire to examine ourselves and desire to be in a right standing before you. Lord, all of us this week that has just passed had to battle the old man of the flesh. All of us had to war against the flesh and the devil. And I pray that we did it with victory through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. And yet, Lord, I know none of us can claim that we've perfectly accomplished that. And we're reminded once again on this Lord's Day that we are a people in need of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in need of the mercy of God, which is indeed new every morning. Help us tonight, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a priority in this passage of Scripture on the importance of examining oneself. Jesus taught about those who like to get the speck out of other people's eye while at the same time having a beam or a log in their own eye. There is definitely a lot of inspection of others. And I know, and just to be clear, there is a place for righteous judgment, and the Scripture is very clear about that. You'll have anybody who doesn't know the Scriptures say, I know that the Bible says you're not supposed to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. But that's a misrepresentation of the Scriptures, because we all are called to walk in judgment and discernment each and every day of our life, choosing the good and forsaking the bad, and recognizing relationships that may be wrong or relationships that may be right. All of those things are good and wise judgments. But there is a kind of judgment, an inspection of others, that is done with a stronger critique of others than we want to put upon ourselves. That is what Jesus talked about when he said removing the speck of dust in somebody else's eye and not recognizing the beam in your own eye. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, this is a time where we as a church come together as a body, come together as one man, and yet we have each a responsibility to examine ourselves individually. Tonight, unless you're on church discipline, the table is open to you as a believer who has been born again by the Spirit of God and who has been baptized scripturally in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we acknowledge that. And there may be those that are here saying tonight, but I've had a difficult week. I've been battling sin. I've been struggling in my life. And there have been times that I've had people say that I'm not going to partake, or I didn't partake. And the reason is because I have a sin that I'm dealing with, or because I'm struggling in this area. And I want to just say, I appreciate the sensitivity to that, but it's the wrong response. The reason for the Lord's Supper, and the reason that it is done on a frequent basis, and the reason why that's historically been the case, is because the Lord's Supper is something God gives to us as an ordinance that is a gift to us. It does show the Lord's death until He comes. It reminds us of His broken body. It reminds us of His shed blood, and it takes us back to a place where we are called to examine ourselves, and to see if there be a wicked way in us, to see if there be sin in our lives that we need to do something with. And what should you not do with sin? You shouldn't do what the Egyptians did with the plagues. One more night with the frogs. One more night with the lice. One more night with the river of blood. One more night with these plagues. No, that's the wrong response. As believers, when we go to the scriptures, when we examine ourselves, and when we recognize that there is sin in our life, the Lord's Supper is used as an instrument, as a scalpel, as it were, to cut out that sin, to say, that is what I want you to bring to me. That is what I want you to confess. That is what I want you to forsake. And I want you to forsake it and confess it and partake of the Lord's Supper so that you remember the sacrifice that was made for that sin. To say, I'm not going to partake of the Lord's Supper because I'm struggling with sin in my life is kind of like Pharaoh saying, I'm going to have one more night with the frogs. One more night with the sin. If you've ever been to the doctor, a doctor gives an examination. You may come in, it's interesting when you go to the doctors, and I am not a doctor, but we know a few, all right? We've all been to the doctor, and if you haven't, Dr. Tanaka would tell you you need to on a regular basis for your own health, just as a proper way to check to see if everything's going okay. But it's interesting, you may come in with a sore throat, and you sit down, they say, you know, sit up there, and you sit up on the little bench or table. And then they start taking your blood pressure. And the first thing that sometimes you want to say is, there is nothing wrong with my blood pressure, it's my throat. Right? But a good doctor, when they have you in there, they're going to give you an exam, and they're going to check more, even on just a regular visit, they're going to check more than just what is your ailment. Say, my arm is hurting. Why are you taking my blood pressure? My arm is hurting. Why are you checking my heart? My arm is hurting. Why are you listening to my lungs? They're doing an examination to see, is this everything that's going on? Is this person otherwise healthy except for the broken arm that's obvious that I can see? Is this person otherwise healthy except for the strep throat that it appears that they may have, and it's showing in that little Q-tip tester thing in the side? I can see the ribbon right there. I know the problem already. Or is there other things going on? A good doctor gives an exam to see, is this person in good health? Or is there something that maybe we should catch before something else goes wrong? Now, if you go in for a full exam, like a physical exam, they're checking for all kinds of things. Let's just imagine that you went in for an exam and you were feeling sick, and they took your blood work. And in your blood work, it showed that your white blood cell count was through the roof. And all of a sudden, they began to do exams around your body, and they found tumors, like visible tumors. How many of you would think it was pretty unwise if when they found the tumors and they said, we need to get these out as soon as possible, you said, no, I think I'm just going to try to go a little while longer. And they say, no, it's pretty certain that these are cancerous. Like, we can tell by the blood work, and we can tell by the physical exam, even without a biopsy. And we can biopsy just to make sure, but we're pretty sure we got to cut these things out right away. How many of you tonight would honestly say, if that happened to you, you would just say, I think I'm just going to leave them in. We'll just take our chances. No, if you had the exam and it was revealed that there was a problem, you would want that problem, if it could be taken care of, to be taken care of. You would want that cancer, that tumor, rooted out. You would want that problem, whatever it may be. Maybe it was your appendix, or I'm thinking of all these things that have been a reality in our family. Maybe it was your appendix that was, you say, it's oozing everywhere. It's like, you know, let's just see if we can leave it in and just see if we make it. We don't operate that way when it comes to our physical life, do we? We say we want to be fixed. Now, you ladies can all testify of this. When your husband gets sick with a case of the flu or the common cold or something of that nature, your tough, manly, awesome, strong husband becomes not so much, right? Oh, don't act all tough out there. You know you love to be babied when you're sick. You want it gone. You want the problem resolved. You want the sickness to be gone. You take all kinds of medications to make things better. You care for yourself in a different way because you want it to be gone out of your life. If this is true with our physical life, how come when we examine ourselves spiritually and we see things, myself included, and we know things that are affecting us in a negative way, we say, I don't know if I'm ready to get rid of that yet. We see something growing in our life. It's a cancer. It's just something smaller. Somebody, the Holy Spirit of God points it out. We're talking about self-examination. It could be your spouse or something of that nature. But somehow it's pointed out. It's revealed to you because you recognize it even in your own life. And you examine yourself and you see, how am I doing spiritually? You realize, I've got this cancerous tumor growing in my life spiritually, but somehow there's this difference where we want to coddle those things that are taking over our life, and instead of saying, Lord, help me to root it out. We will be like the man or the woman who, in examining themselves, even in preparation for the Lord's Supper, they say, I'm just not going to partake of it. I just don't feel like I'm ready yet. Rather than realizing that God will receive you, that God wants to hear you bring your sin before Him. He wants you to confess your sin. And He wants you to forsake it so that you can be made right, so that you can be made whole, so that the cancer can be rooted out. What does the Scripture say here in this passage of Scripture? It says in verse number 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is something very important to understand about partaking of the Lord's Supper. When we come together and we're preparing for the Lord's Supper, there should be beforehand an examination of our own spiritual life, an examination of our heart and our mind to see, Lord, is there something that needs to be cut out? Is there something that needs to be confessed? Is there something that I need to address in my life so that I can be right with you? And remember that you died for that sin. Remember that it's already been paid for. Remember that it is indeed already forgiven for those who believe. The psalmist David knew the importance of confession of sin, and the psalmist David also knew the reality of sin in his life. The psalmist David declared in Psalm 139, towards the end, the last two verses, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my thoughts. What's he doing? He's examining himself, and he's asking the Lord to probe his heart, to probe his mind, to expose anything that may be there. You may say, well, wouldn't he already know? You know, sometimes we have sinful things that are growing in our life, in our mind, or we're engaging them in our imaginations, and we don't even yet realize that they're growing as a sinful work in our life. We need to be like David and say, Lord, search me, reveal to me, show to me those things that need to be rooted out. He says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I believe we need to have the heart of David when it comes to examination of our life, and when we even prepare and partake of the Lord's Supper as a regular occurrence, that we would realize it's a gift from the Lord for us to be able to say, and we don't have to just wait till the Lord's Day when we're partaking the Lord's Supper, but on a regular basis that we would desire, Lord, help me to walk close to you. Help me to have a short sin account with you. Help me to remember to ask you to search my heart. Help me to be honest with myself. Help me to be honest with you and to forsake the sin that you reveal. Have you prayed lately? Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Can I ask you a question? Is this prayer for God or for David? For David. Does not God know our thoughts? Yes. He already does. Does he not know our heart? Of course he does. This is David acknowledging, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. I want you to test me. I want you to reveal to me things in my life that need to be exposed and rooted out. I want to have a right relationship before you. Going to God is, in some ways, and if I want to kind of compare the metaphor and not to reveal this in a sense of bringing God down to an earthly form, even though he was made in the likeness of man. But Christ is the great physician, is he not? And good physicians who love their patients don't gloss over things that are exposed in an examination. They want the physical health of that individual to be well. They care about their emotional health. They care about all different facets. And they're listening to things that the people are saying. They're examining them physically. They're talking to them about their life and how things are going. And they're wanting to help the whole person. Except for their focus, unless they're a Christian doctor, is not usually on the soul. But the great physician, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is preeminently concerned with our souls. He's preeminently concerned with us having a right account with him. So let a man examine himself. We need to examine ourselves so that we do not eat and drink unworthily of the body and the blood of Christ. Say, what does it matter? It's just a little piece of bread. It's just a little cup of juice. What's that going to do? It is honestly something far more than that. It is said in this passage of Scripture that it is not discerning the Lord's body. It's not discerning what Christ came to do. It's not discerning that when we partake of Christ, we are partaking of his body. We're partaking of his blood. John 6 speaks of that in verse 51, I believe it is, about the bread of the Lord. When we partake of Christ, when we are made, when we are become Christians, we are partaking of the body and the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are remembering that sacrifice of our Lord, and it should not be taken lightly. And it can bring spiritual disease into the life of the church when people take it lightly. What would happen if we came Lord's Day upon Lord's Day, or every month when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we had sin in our life that we were not wanting to confess before the Lord, and everybody just kept taking the Lord's Supper, and everybody just kept going through the religious rituals and not really dealing with examining their life, and the church as a congregation just growing in sinfulness and ungodliness, what's going to happen in the end is it's going to lead a lot of people to hell. Because we'll completely lose our testimony for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's spiritually going to be damning to the congregation. So spiritually speaking, we need to examine ourselves. And if cancer is exposed spiritually, we need to have it rooted out. We need to get it cut out as soon as possible. We shouldn't wait till next week. We shouldn't harbor it just a little while longer, because it's a snare in our life. This passage in verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." You're abusing that gracious gift that our Lord has given in his sacrifice. It says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." I think the expectation is that when a man examines himself and he finds himself unworthy, that he's going to make it right with God so that he can partake. That's one of the purposes of bringing us into unity and fellowship with the Lord, is it not? And for those that refuse, for those that continue and just ignore dealing with their sin, it says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding the spiritual work that God is doing in the life of his church, in the life of the body. And it says, for this cause. For what cause? neglecting spiritual life, neglecting keeping a short account with God, neglecting the truth of God. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It means literally many die. Now this may be referring to this simply as spiritually, or it may be that there's people that fall under the judgment hand of God. Either way, it's something very serious. We don't want to be weak and sickly spiritually, do we? I know that as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, I want to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a witness in my neighborhood and in the community. I want to be built up in the most holy faith. I don't want to be weak and sickly. I know what it's like to be weak and sickly, to be struggling. I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want to put on the whole armor of God so that I might stand. And that should be your desire too. But it begins, I believe, with a regular examination of yourself, of your heart, like David. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. That there would be a solemn examination and a desire to have your life right before the Lord. So what happens when sin is found? What do we need to do? Cut it out. How do we cut out sin? Confess it before the Lord. Repent. Repentance, as I've preached not too long ago, repentance is not just for the believer, not just for the individual who's coming to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning to God for the very first time. Repentance is a part of the life of the believer, and that we need to realize when we're falling into sin or when we're following after sin, that we need to turn back again to God and say, Lord, help me. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to walk anew and afresh in my relationship with you. Confession of sin is necessary in the life of the believer. Say, well, no, I have been made righteous. I have the imputed righteousness of Christ. That is true. And the same God who tells us that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ, we have Christ's righteousness living in us, has also told us that we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He's talking to believers. What is that about? It's the same kind of thing that David was dealing with in the sense that he was saying, search me, O God, expose sin in my life, show it to me so that I can confess it and make it right with you so that I have a closer fellowship, a sweeter communion with you. Isn't that one of the terms that's used for the Lord's Supper? And it's a biblical term, by the way. Communion. And have broken communion with God. You know how to do that? Sin. Restored communion? Confession of sin. And confession of sin should include forsaking of that sin. So where do you find this? Let me read just a couple of scriptures tonight. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, I'll read a few verses above. Here, in the context of 1 John, the book of 1 John is about a Christian examining himself to make certain he belongs to the Lord. It's about the seriousness of our faith. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now take this in context here. Who cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. But if we, even who are cleansed of sin, say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a glorious portion of Scripture. By the way, if you go back to the book of Acts that we're preaching through, you'll find many times Paul preaches the gospel, and what is the key thing that happens? People realize they have been forgiven of their sins. And then what happens when we who have been forgiven and we are positionally made righteous and we are made right before God, that we still battle with this old man of the flesh like Ephesians talks about. We need to daily put off the old man and put on Christ. And we need to literally kill the old man of the flesh. We're battling against sin. If we say that we have no sin, even as those who have been washed, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So when a sin is revealed, confess it before God, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I would say, and this is something that is important, it deals with in the book of James, in chapter 5. I'm going to put a little bit different application on this. In James chapter 5, it speaks about confessing our faults or our sins. And people misuse this verse, and they kind of have the idea that every single sin that we commit needs to be exposed before everyone. I don't think that's what this is talking about, but this is one of the one another's of the New Testament. And I believe that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to have one another in a close fashion, that we would have relationships, that we can walk with one another and confess our faults. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Obviously, there's a physical element to this in James chapter 5 that I don't want to overlook with regards to calling for the elders if there's somebody who's sick, but obviously I want you to understand there's application for spiritual sickness, spiritual unhealthiness that needs to be rooted out. And one of the things I think is needful for all of us is that we would walk in accountability with the brethren. We need one another to encourage one another to walk in a life free from sin, to confess sin when it's been exposed, and to forsake it. A great passage of Scripture that tonight I'm not going to read, but I would draw your attention to, the same psalmist David who wrote Psalm 139, 23, and 24, "Search me, O God," was also confronted by Nathan the prophet when he was found in grave sin of adultery with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, it reveals the confrontation of sin and then the confession that restores joy and fellowship and unity with the Lord through a broken and contrite heart over sin. Actually, I think I'll go there and just read this before we close. Scripture says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." You might say, well, David, he's not a New Testament believer. He didn't have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Don't mistake this. David is a believer. He's one who follows after God. He's called in the New Testament a man after God's own heart, and yet he still battles sin in his life. Notice these words. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." It's there like the frogs. It's there like the plague of lice. It's there like the river of blood. It's there constantly, continuously. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and may be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." I just have to point out one thing really quickly. When it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," that does not mean in the act of conception. It means the fact that he is a son of the first Adam. He is one born in sin. Okay, just as a little pause. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." He's talking about the consequence for sin flooding in upon him and crushing him under the weight of it. It says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and the whole burnt offering. Then shall the offering that they offer bullocks upon the altar. When I've made things right, then I will again offer an offering of worship to you. And tonight, I want to encourage you, as you examine yourselves, as you prepare for the Lord's table, if the Lord exposes sin in your life, when you say, Lord, search me, even right now, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, that you would immediately confess it before the Lord, that you would acknowledge your sin before God, and know that when you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray that tonight you would make examining yourself a priority, and that you would recognize it is one of the gifts of partaking of the Lord's Supper, because it brings us back. Some of you don't like going to the doctor. There are people that don't go to the doctor for years and years and years and years and years. And it's not always the best decision. I say, even Jesus had Luke, the physician, as one of his first followers. He was the author of the book of Acts and the book of the Gospel of Luke. Sometimes people don't go to the doctor because they're afraid they might find something. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord's table. Ask God to show you what in your life needs to be removed. And then don't say, maybe next time. Deal with it now with the Lord. Father, I pray you'd bless tonight. I pray that this devotional teaching would be helpful and encouraging to your people. Lord, every one of us need to examine ourselves. And Lord, I know that my sin is ever before me. And every individual in this sanctuary tonight, if they're honest with themselves, that they have sin in their life, great or small, that needs to be rooted out. Sins of omission, sins of commission. And I pray that they would be open enough, yielded enough, that they would ask the Lord even right now, Lord, show me my sin. Maybe even tonight you would be quite honest with the Lord and you would just acknowledge what he already knows, that you very much know what your sin is, and that you'd confess it before him and truly forsake it. The broken and contrite heart, knowing that God will not despise you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be prepared, to be made ready, not because we did good, but because you finished the work that the Father sent to you on the cross on our behalf, the just for the unjust, so that we could be made right before God. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.